Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and in today's episode, I'm going to show you how to use SQLite in Windows Store App. So SQLite, hopefully you're familiar with it. It's an in-memory database. So we download it as a library. It provides you with a transactional database that you can use in a variety of platforms, including the one we're going to talk about today, Windows Store Apps. And it is free, it's open source, and I happen to like it a lot because it works pretty well with Visual Studio. So we're going to build an app, and we're going to see how to use SQLite in that app. Actually, I already have the app built. So let me show you the actual app, and then we'll see how we put SQLite in it. It's a very, very simple app. I can manage my customers and my projects. I start the app, and it shows me my customers. I click a customer, it shows me the projects. If I click a project, I can make changes to that project, edit it, delete it. Go back. If I go back again to a customer and I select a customer, then I can edit that customer. So just very, very simple data. I didn't want to spend an awful lot of time on the actual app because I just want to show you how you can use SQLite. Okay, so that's the app. So let me start a new app. I'm not going to build this app from scratch, but I do want to show you how you would get started using SQLite. So let's just start up a blank app, and we're going to do this in XAML. So I'll make this a C# blank app. And then the first thing you need is SQLite. Well, you get that by going into Tools, Extensions, and Updates, and then you can search for it. So we'll go online, and we can search in the Visual Studio Gallery for SQLite. 1L, 1I. And here's the SQLite for Windows Runtime, which gives you the ability to use SQLite in a Windows Store app, Windows 8 Store app. Notice also that there is a SQLite for Windows Phone, and this actually works for both Windows Phone 7 and 8, which is kind of cool. So you would install SQLite for Windows Runtime, and I actually have it already installed. And then the next thing you would do is add a reference to it. So we'll go into References, and we'll add a reference to not only SQLite for Windows Runtime, but also the C++ Runtime package. You need to make sure you have all the right dependencies. Click OK, and now we've added references, but notice closely that for each of these there are yellow triangles, which is never a good sign. I build this, and the processor architecture of the project being built, any CPU, is not supported by the referenced SDK. Neither the vclibs or the SQLite WinRT. So we can't build this as any CPU. So we would come into Configuration Manager, Build Configuration Manager, and select an architecture-specific platform, let's say x64. Now I can build this. So what this means is if you're going to put this app in the store, you would want to build an x86, an x64, and an ARM based version of this, create packages for each of those, upload those to the store, and then when the user installs your app from the store will send down the architecture-specific package. So if they install the app and they're running 64-bit Windows 8, then the store will install the 64-bit package of your app. If they go to the store and they're on a Surface, a Windows RT device like a Surface or any of the other machines that are running the ARM version of Windows 8 called Windows RT, then the store would send on that specific version. So you'd write the app once, build it three times, one for each architecture, upload those to the store. Okay? Of course, if you have specific code that is architecture specific, then you'd account for that as well. Okay, so now I've got SQLite, a reference to my project, and at this point I could start writing to SQLite. But what I really want to do is I want to go get a NuGet package. So I'd go to Tools, Library Package Manager. I can either use the Package Manager console, or I can select Manage NuGet Packages for Solution and get this dialog. And what I want to do is search for SQLite-net. This is a .NET client library to access SQLite in a link-like manner, created by Frank Krueger. Thank you very much, Frank. The nice thing about using SQLite-net is we'll see in the actual demo is that you talk to SQLite using a link-like manner. So we would then install that for this project. And that gives us these files here, SQLite and SQLite Async. And at this point, I've got SQLite, the runtime, ready to go. And I've got this SQLite-net NuGet package installed for this project. And at that point, I am ready to write this app. Okay, so let's go back to the finished app and now see what we did. Okay, so first thing I need to do is I'm going to go into the app.xaml.cs. So when the app starts up, first of all, I've got a couple application level variables, one for the DB path, and you'll also see here one for the current customer ID. Then I come down here and I want to connect to the database. So a SQLite database is stored in a single file, and I'm going to name that file customers.sqlite. You can call it whatever you want. I'm going to call it customers.sqlite. And it's always going to be in the app's local folder. So windows.storage.applicationdata.current.localfolder.path is the path of the local folder for this app, and that's where I'm going to put this customers.sqlite. I then connect to it using SQLite.SQLite connection, connect to that database. If the database doesn't exist, this will create it. If it already exists, then I'm connected to it. Now, I want to work with tables. So if the tables don't exist yet, I want to create them. So I'm going to create a table called customer, and I'm going to create a table called project. And this looks very much like code first in Entity Framework, where we define our classes and then the Entity Framework runtime builds those tables in the database. So over in my models folder, I have a model for customer, which is just a generic class. The only thing I'm doing that's SQLite specific is attributing the ID as the primary key. So I attribute this SQLite.primaryKey, and now the SQLite database knows that's the primary key, which that immediately gives me constraints, right? If I try to add two customers with the same ID, an exception will be thrown. And then I also have a project class where ID is the primary key. And of course, projects have a customer ID, then name, description, due date. So nothing terribly complicated there. And when I say DB, which is the database.createTableCustomer or createTableProject, these tables will be created if they don't already exist. So now at this point, I've got a database, I've got tables. What do the tables look like? Well, I defined those by creating this customer and this project class, which I put in my models folder. Okay? All right. Perfect. And then, of course, I've referenced SQLite-demo.models. Okay, then I have some code here to seed the data. We'll look at that later on. All right, so now what? Well, I'm using MVVM. I'm using a relatively lightweight version of MVVM. I've got views, I've got view models. I don't have commanding in this. I just use my view models to work with data. So let's go take a look at these view models. So I have a view model for customers. And the customers view model has a method called getCustomer. So I'm going to call this on my first page to go retrieve customers. And that is going to return an observable collection of customer view model. The customer view model just has properties, ID, name, city, etc. So now I want to connect to the database and retrieve customers. Okay, so this customers variable, this customers field, which is what this method returns, is an observable collection of customer view model. I connect to the database. So I have this, remember I have this application level property called DB path, which I want to be able to reference everywhere. And I got tired of typing left paren application.current as app right paren dot. So I just have this app here, which is equal to the current app. So app.dbpath is where the database exists. I connect to it. And then here is the benefit of using SQL-net, that NuGet package. I can just essentially write what looks like a link query. So my query is db.table of customer. and that will retrieve customers. So this code right here is the equivalent of select star from customer. Then I'm going to order by name. So I use a lambda expression for that. And that is select star from customer order by name. Perfect. Then I loop through, create customer view models, add them to customers, and send that back to the caller. The caller is the main page. Okay, so the main page, when I go to it, I get customers. And then I have a view source, and I set the source to customers, and just take a very quick look at this. Nothing terribly complicated here. I'm going to display customers using this template, and I have an app bar, and I have a customer's grid view. And I'm going to move through this code fairly quickly because by the time you watch this, this sample code will be on my blog, I promise. Okay, so when I run the app, we go into the database, we query, we bring back the customers, we order them by name, and we display them on the main page. Okay. Now if I click on one of these, on one of these customers, then I'm going to display the projects for that customer. Okay, so in the projects page, again, I've got a project view model. I've got projects, which is a collection of project view models. And what I'm going to do is call into the projects view model and get projects for that customer. So when I select a customer, I pass that customer to the projects page, cast that to customer view model so that I can get the customer ID, and then pass the customer ID to the get projects method of the projects view model, which again here is going to query the projects table and return the projects for that customer. So my query is db.table of project where customer ID is equal to the customer ID I passed in, ordered by due date. Okay, so I've just got a couple lambdas in here. And then I create, loop through that, and populate this projects, which is an observable collection of project. And that's how, when I select a customer, I display that customer's projects on the next page. Okay? So, relatively simple querying. Here I'm doing a where with an order by. On the customer's view model, I'm just doing an order by with no where. All right, so now, what else can we do in this application? So I can view, but what I also want to be able to do is add a new customer, or if I select a customer, edit. And just as an aside, notice that the app bar is context sensitive. So if I don't have any customers selected and I right click, I can't edit because there's no editing of customers. But I can add a new customer. If I select a customer, I can edit. And it occurs to me right now that this edit button should actually be over on the left side, because in an app bar, contextual commands are on the left, global commands are on the right. So I need to move this edit button over to the left. So anyway, I can edit this and then go in, and then I can save and delete. And again, these should be over on the left. I'll move them before I post this. Okay, so what's that code all look like? Well, in order to work with a customer, first of all, we need to be able to retrieve customers. So I have a get customer method, pass in the customer ID or number, get that customer back. So this is going to be a query db.table of customer where ID is equal to the customer ID. I also want to be able to get customer names. And the reason I want customer names is because when I click here, I want to display the customer. So these are AdventureWorks projects or Contoso projects. So I need to be able to get the customer name. So I have a method there, pass in the customer ID, and then return the customer name. If I'm saving a customer, so if I run this app, right-click customer, edit, and these guys apparently have moved from Bellevue to Bothell, and then save that. So what's the code to do that? So if I'm saving, then first I need to find, is this an existing customer? Or did I just add a customer? So I want to find if it's an existing customer. So I go into the customer table, where ID equals customer ID, dot single or default, because only one should come back, shouldn't be multiples. If nothing comes back, then it's an existing customer. I update the name, city, and contact, and then save this by calling db.update, and I update the existing customer. If nothing comes back, it's a new customer, so I can say db.insert new customer. Okay, what if I wanted to delete a customer? Well, if I'm going to delete a customer, I need to delete the projects first. So go into the project table, retrieve the projects for that customer, loop through them and delete them, db.delete.project, so I pass the object into delete. Then I go find the customer and delete the customer. And yes, of course, I should have error trapping here and wrap this in a transaction, but I didn't. Also want to be able, when I add a new customer or a project, I need the customer number. What's the customer number for this? So go into the get the customers, var customers equals db.table of customer. If there are any in there, then I have this query here from C in DB table customer select CID max. That brings me the maximum customer number. I add one to it, and that's my new customer number. Okay, I'm also doing that for project. Same code for saving a project, deleting a project, and getting the new project number. And for customer, yep, showed that, showed this. So at this point, I've essentially showed the app. That's all there is. I told you it was a very simple app. So to review, the first thing we do is we name the database and know that we're storing it in the app's local folder. Connect to the database using SQLite.SQLite connection. Create the tables if they don't already exist. And then my reset data method here is going to empty the customer and project table. I call db.deleteAll. And then I insert the sample customers, insert the sample projects. Okay, if I want to retrieve customers, it's just a query that looks like link, db.tableOfCustomer.orderBy. And I could use a where clause, which I do in projects. I could just do the order by here. I could use the where and the order by. And then if I, for my CUD, my create, update, and delete, we've already talked about the R in CRUD, but now for the rest of it, update for save, insert for insert, delete, there it is for delete, and that is it. So here's a very simple application that just gives me the ability to manage customers and projects. Simple insert, update, and delete, and retrieve. And we're using SQLite to store the data. That data is being stored locally in that SQLite database file in the application's local folder. And I now have my data being stored in SQLite, so this gives me obviously an offline scenario. The data lives on this machine. The data won't roam, so if I'm running this same app on multiple devices, I'd have to think about that. You know, do I really want to store it in SQLite? Do I want to store it in SQLite and then be able to send it to other computers? But for the simplest application of an app running on a device, that's how you can get started using SQLite. There's obviously more to it. You can do more complicated queries. But that, in a nutshell, is the basics of using SQLite. So, hope that was good for you, and I'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.